So I will be talking on global analysis of neutrino oscillation, and my collaborators are these. So this is the plan of my talk. First, I will talk on two flavor oscillation analysis. So I will discuss the constraints on delta m square solar and sine square theta solar from solar plus Camland results. Next, I will talk on constraints on delta m square atmospheric and sine square theta atmospheric from atmospheric plus K2K data. Next, I will come to three flavor oscillation analysis, and I will discuss the constraints on theta 1, 3 and the hierarchy parameter delta m square solar by delta m square atmospheric from solar reactor atmospheric and K2K analysis. I will not cover sterile neutrinos and LSND, and I will conclude with summary and future goals. At the there are many people, many groups working in global oscillation, and at the outset, let me apologize to people. My reference list is not very exhaustive, so I would like to apologize people whose papers I have not referred. I have mainly referred to papers which I have used for my talk. So as we all know that the evidences for neutrino oscillation come from the super first comprehensive evidence came from Super Kamiokande. Then there is solar neutrino oscillation evidence from Homestake, the gallium experiment, Super Kamiokande, SNOW. Then K2K, Camland, LSND, we have heard about all these. So the ingredients of global analysis, the first ingredient is the experimental data, and for doing the statistical analysis, we need to know the errors, the systematic errors and their correlations. So then we have to calculate the theoretical predictions for which we need the fluxes, the interaction cross sections, and for oscillation analysis, we have to calculate the oscillation probabilities. This depends on the density profile of the propagating medium, the energy of the neutrino, and then for oscillation, it will depend on the mass parameter, mass square difference, and the mixing angle. And if there are some other mechanism, then the other parameters can also come into play. Schematically, the theoretical rate is flux times the cross section times the probability. And then what one has to do is compare this theoretical rate with the experimental data by minimizing a chi square. So the covariance method is used, and then pool method after this was recommended in this paper. Also, people have used a more rigorous frequentist method and the probabilistic Bayesian analysis. And the aim is to get the best fit values of parameters, the oscillation parameters delta m square and sine square theta, and also the allowed regions at various confidence levels. So this is the allowed area from global solar data from NUI, NU active, and the oscillation parameters, I sometimes call them as delta m square solar and equivalently delta m square 2-1, similarly theta solar and theta 1-2. So this is the region in delta m square 2-1 sine square theta 1-2 plane before the salt data from SNOW, and this is after the salt data from SNOW. So I have 90, 95, 99 and 3 sigma regions. So the best fit from including the salt data comes here, which is 6 into 10 to the minus 5 EV square, and sine square theta 1-2 is approximately 0.29, and we have used the BP04 fluxes for these plots and kept the 8 boron flux normalization free, and we get the 8 boron best value for this as 0.89. Now the 99% CL range before the salt data was 3.1 to 2.5 into 10 to the minus 4, 3.1 into 10 to the minus 5 to this, and sine square theta was 0.21 to 0.44, and after salt we see that this has gone to 14.8 and this is 0.37. So we see that upper limit on delta m square 2-1 and sine square theta 1-2 tightens with the salt data, which is clearly visible from this figure. And this can be understood from the CC by NC ratio pre-salt and post-salt. So CC by NC ratio pre-salt was 0.35, and with the salt data it reduced to 0.31. And these pink lines are the ISO CC by NC contours, and we see that as we go towards lower sine square theta, then the CC by NC decreases. So because this has decreased, sine square theta goes to lower values. We have kept this 8 boron flux normalization free, so we don't find any significant change due to BP04. So this is the allowed area from Camland spectra. So the for Camland, it is mainly vacuum oscillation probability. For the solar analysis, we had included the matter effect in the sun and the earth in our analysis. For Camland, it is mainly vacuum oscillation, excepting for the lower real time square regions. This is the plot with the new Camland data, and we had seen this plot earlier yesterday also. And okay, first of all, Camland we know is sensitive to LMA region. If we assume CPT conversation, so then this is the same delta M square which appears for nu E bar and nu E. And we see that earlier we had higher, with the earlier data we had regions allowed here, and higher delta M square regions now reduce in size because of the increased distortion. And yesterday we saw in Giorgio Grata's talk that the best fit they get with delta M square solar is 8.3 into 10 to the minus 5 sine square theta solar 0.44. This is what we get, delta M square solar 8.4 10 to the minus 5 EV square, we get slightly lower sine square theta. So we have these three regions, we have not included the small matter effect here, so it is symmetric about theta and pi by 2 minus theta. So this is the allowed area with the previous Camland and this 766 Tonnier Camland result. So the best fit without the new Camland result was 7.2 10 to the minus 5 EV square, and this best fit rises to 8.3 10 to the minus 5 EV square, and theta and the 8 boron normalization does not change much. And this is it, how it compares with the Camland collaboration. So we agree with their result. And we also see that with the snow salt data and the 162 Tonnier Camland data, this region was allowed at 3 sigma. However, we don't find this high LMA region at 3 sigma. Also, we saw that because Camland is basically vacuum oscillation probability, it had theta and pi by 2 minus theta regions allowed, but solar data disallows the theta greater than pi by 4 solutions, so which implies for resonant solutions the delta M square 2,1 is greater than 0. So this is the delta chi square versus sine square theta plot. This is with the old Camland result. So this is, but what it shows is that this pink curve is with the solar, and this green curve is solar plus Camland. So we see from this curve that the delta M square 2,1 range is further constrained by Camland. And we see here that from this that sine square theta 1,2 is not constrained any further because these are almost overlapping. And here we have plotted the low solution also. So we find that with the including the snow salt data, the low solution is disfavored at more than 3 sigma, and with the solar plus Camland it's discovered at about 5 sigma, and here the maximal mixing solution is disfavored at more than 5 sigma. So this is the impact of each solar experiment. So in this plot, what we plot is in delta M square 2,1 sine square theta 1,2 plane the various allowed regions by taking out one experiment. So here we took out chlorine, gallium, SK and snow. So we see that the effect of taking out snow is very large. So the maximal mixing solution gets allowed, the dark side solutions get allowed, and the higher delta M square solutions also get allowed. With the new Camland result, these solutions may not, I don't expect these to be get allowed because Camland itself is constraining these regions. So this is the survival probability. So this is the survival probability versus energy. This is for the solar probability. The pink line is the night time probability. This black is the daytime probability, and green dotted is the day night averaged probability. So it shows that high energy, the night rate is slightly higher than the day rate, so there is some regeneration. And towards very high energy, this tends to sine square theta, and towards low energy, this tends to 1 minus half sine square 2 theta. So this is the probability for the low energy neutrinos, averaged vacuum oscillation. For high energy neutrinos, the adiabatic MSW adiabatic probability approximately sine square theta. And this green curve is the probability, the average probability for theta equal to pi by 2 minus theta. So, we see that these are different. So, the solar matter effect breaks this degeneracy, and so the dark zone regions are not allowed. And this is the Camland plot with an average baseline of 180 kilometer versus energy. So, because this is vacuum oscillation probability, one can see the peaks and dips, and here the explicit appearance of delta m square is not there. So, this gives Camland a very good sensitivity to delta m square. So, this is the spread in delta m square 2-1 using various sets of data. So, this is using the only solar data, and the spread in delta m square, that 99% CL that we get is 65%, and sin square theta 1-2 is 25%. This is with the previous Camland data, 162 ton year, and here the spread reduces to 31% for delta m square. For sin square theta 1-2 it is 25%. If we use the new Camland result, then it further reduces to 13%. This goes to 24%. And this is a future solar, so it is about 2006. So, this is roughly 1.3 kiloton year, but this number is means change depending on the reactor power profile. And for this snow analysis, we take 6% total error for snow NC and 5% for CC. And the spread we get is 8% in delta m square and 17% in theta. This is in 2006. So, we see that Camland has very good sensitivity to delta m square. However, the theta 1-2 range does not change so much. The theta 1-2 precision does not improve so much. So, the reason for this can be traced to the fact that, so this is the basically the Camland probability 1 minus sin square 2 theta sin square delta m square 2-1 L by 4e. Now, if this term is 1, that means we have an oscillation maxima, and then we have a minima in the survival probability, which we call an SP min. And if this term tends to 0, then we have a maxima in the survival probability, which we call, so then this is 1, we call this SP max. Now, what happens is when this term is 0, then this theta dependent terms also goes to 0, so the theta sensitivity gets smothered. However, when this term is 1 and if sin square theta is within this range less than 0.37, then this gives 1 minus sin square 2 theta gives the best sensitivity for sin square theta, and we know the allowed range of sin square theta is 0.22 to 0.37. So, this is why SP min, if a detector is at an SP min, survival probability minimum, then it is best for the theta sensitivity. Here we have plotted the probability versus distance. This is from the Camland collaboration paper. It's at a slightly lower delta m square, but this is the Camland position. So, this is at about 180 kilometer, and so Camland is at SP max. That's why the theta sensitivity is not so good. Now, if we calculate for the older best fit, which is 7 into 10 to the minus 5, then SP min comes at about 70 kilometer. So, if there is a dedicated reactor experiment at 70 kilometer, then the theta sensitivity sin square theta can be reduced to 10%. This was proposed in this paper, and in the poster session now there is a poster by Professor Minakata and his collaborators on some possible sites for this kind of an experiment. Now, for the low energy neutrinos, the probability is 1 minus half sin square 2 theta for the low energy solar neutrinos. So, from the standard solar model, the PP flux is known with 1% accuracy compared to the uncertainty of the 8 boron and 7 beryllium fluxes. And here we plot the ISO PP scattering rates over the allowed region from solar plus Camland analysis, using the old Camland. We see that these are almost parallel to the delta m square 2-1 axis. So, if the experimental errors are low, then such experiments can increase the theta precision. And this is a plot from the paper by Bacall and Penagare. And so, here what they have done is this blue curve is the allowed area in delta m square tan square theta plane with plus minus 3% measurement error. And this is with plus minus 1%, and you see that with reduced error, the allowed region of theta decreases. So the day-night asymmetry contours on the other hand is parallel to the theta axis, so they have good sensitivity to delta m square 2 1. So here we have plotted the ISO ADN, which is defined by this quantity night rate minus day rate by night rate plus day rate on the allowed area. And for the best fit, the previous best fit, the this day-night asymmetry was coming out to be about 0.04, so now it will be slightly higher. So when for the solar analysis, we have assumed the MSW effect to be operative in the sun, and then we can ask the question what the data tells us about this. So this is a plot from the Bari group, and this is including the snow salt data. And so we know that the MSW potential is root to GF NE, where NE is the solar density. So what they did is they put a factor of alpha MSW with this. So if alpha MSW is 0, that means there will be no MSW effect, and if this is 1, which is the standard MSW. So here they have plotted delta chi square versus alpha MSW, and this is with the current data after snow salt, and what we see is that this is 0, so this is no MSW effect, which has a very high delta chi square, so it is rejected at about 5.6 sigma. And this is with this red and the blue curves are with increased statistics from CAMLAND. This is with 5 times the statistics, and this is with the 10 times the statistics. And we see that increased statistics from CAMLAND can put stronger constants. So then this can give more precise test of MSW and also new physics beyond MSW. So now I will come to atmospheric neutrino oscillation parameters. First, I will describe the two-flavor oscillation analysis. So this is a earlier plot from the talk by C. Saji in noon 2004. This is analyzing the fully content, partial content, and the up mu events. So the best fit was at 2 into 10 to the minus 3 v square. Today morning, we saw that now they get the best fit at 2.1. The chi square is flat in the region 2.1 to 2.5. This allowed range also has changed a little bit. So the earlier, this, the best fit without the, so this change, this best fit gets lowered after including the three-dimensional Honda fluxes and doing some revision in their analysis. And so the earlier value was about 2.5. So there is a slight, this it goes down. And there are two groups who have done the analysis of Super Kamiokande Zenith data, and they confirm this downward shift, and they use the three-dimensional Honda atmospheric fluxes, the chief reasons are. Also, they normalize their rates to the SK Monte Carlo so that to include the effect of revised efficiencies and cross-sections. And these both papers are using pool approach for systematic and theoretical uncertainties. So now I come to the allowed area from K2K experiment. Here also we saw the new plots and the best fit. So in 2003 it was 2.8, and K2K is also sensitive to vacuum oscillation, and for atmospheric also, atmospheric neutrinos are also sensitive to vacuum oscillation. So this is the allowed region in delta m square sine square 2 theta plane, and this is the allowed area from the SK plus K2K analysis. So this is the result from the Valencia group's analysis. And so with the, without the K2K data, their best fit comes at 2 into 10 to the minus 3 V square, and with the K2K they get best fit at 2.3 into 10 to the minus 3 V square, and the best fit sine square theta is 0.5. And this shaded regions are the allowed regions from atmospheric plus K2K, and these dotted regions are from only atmospheric. So we see that the higher delta m square values are constrained by K2K, but the, so here they have plotted the delta chi square versus theta and delta chi square versus delta chi square versus delta m square. So we see that the theta is not constrained any further, but here we see also the fact that the higher delta m squares are constrained by K2K. So then we have seen the, that SK has the L by E data, and this is the allowed area from the SK L by E analysis from this paper. from the L by E analysis, the best fit is at 2.4 into 10 to the minus 3 V square and sine square 2 theta 1. And the range is 1.9 to 3 into 10 to the minus 3 V square, sine square 2 theta atmospheric is greater than 0.9. So, the spread is about 22%. And this is the range from the SK zenith analysis. This has changed slightly. I think this has gone to 1.4 and 0.92. So, anyway, the spread here is about 39%. So, we see that with the L by E data, there is an improved precision in delta M square atmospheric, but range of sine square theta is not changed, and this is about 5% sine square 2 theta. However, in the leptonic mixing matrix, what we need is the sine square theta, and these precisions are different, and the sine square theta is precision is about 32%, because this is worse than sine square 2 theta 3 precision. Now, this is proportional to the square root of exposure. So, more statistics from SK, can it improve the precision? So, in 20 years at 90% confidence level, this goes to about 20%. This is from the talk by T. Kajita in noon 2004. And increase statistics in L by E data can improve the delta M square 3 to precision. So, about 10% in SK 20 years at 90% CL. But this effect is sensitive to the true delta M square 3-2 chosen. For lower delta M square 3-2, the precision is better. This number is at 2.5 into where this, it is at 2.5 into 10 to the minus 3 EV squared, the true delta M square 3-2. So, as we have seen in the morning, that large magnetized calorimeters have very good L by E resolution. These have excellent muon track and charge identification and very good about energy resolution. So, this type of detector was first proposed in Gran Sasso by Monolith, and there is this Indian Neutrino Observatory, which is currently feasibility study is going on in India, and this is some very preliminary estimate from the INO group that this is about 10% for 150 kiloton year in 5 years of INO, where the true value is 3 into 10 to the minus 3 EV square. And then there are long baseline super beam experiments. So, now I will come to three flavor oscillation. Now, if we have three neutrinos, then we have two mass square differences, delta M square 2 1 and delta M square 3 1, which we identify as delta M square solar, and this we identify as delta M square show atmospheric approximately. This is because the delta M square 2 1 is much less than delta M square 3 1, and we have three mixing angles, which are customarily called 1 3 1 2 and 2 3. And we can make this assumption because from the atmospheric and solar analysis, we have seen that this is less, much less than this. Under this assumption, the atmospheric probabilities will depend on delta M square 3 2 theta 1 3 theta 2 3. The solar neutrino probabilities depend on delta M square 2 1 theta 1 2 theta 1 3. And under this assumption, the CP violation phases in atmospheric probabilities can be neglected, because we see from here that if theta 1 3 is 0, then the solar and atmospheric neutrinos decouple, and the show probability depends on delta M square 3 1 and theta 1 3 under this assumption. But small effects of delta M square 2 1 in atmospheric as well as show has been included. So, this is the allowed area from the show reactor. It has so non-observance of nu e bar disappearance, and this is the plot in delta M square 3 1 tan square theta 1 3 plane. So, this is the region disallowed by the show data, and this is the region allowed. And on this blue area is the 90% confidence level allowed region from SK plus K2K analysis, and this red region is the 90% confidence level allowed region using the zenith angle data. Now, we see that here using the L by E range, the delta M square 3-2 range is 3-1 range is higher, and using the zenith range, this is lower. And as we go towards higher delta M square 3-1, we get stronger bounds on theta 1 3. So, the theta 1 3 bound from show depends on the delta M square 3-1, and for higher delta M square 3-1, we get stronger bounds. This is the bound on theta 1 3 from show, the black dotted line, solar plus camland plus show plus K2K plus atmospheric, the pink line, then solar plus Sho plus K2K plus atmospheric, the green line, and this is solar plus KL. So, this is still weak. Of course, this is with not including the new Camland results. So, this is the bound we get from Sho plus atmospheric, it is about 0.1, then from all data it is about 0.074. Now, for this analysis, we have not done the atmospheric plus K2K analysis. What we have done is that we have assumed the delta M square 3-1 range from SK plus K2K analysis. We used the range obtained by this, the Bari group, and thank you. And we get the bound that this is 0.074. Now, the bound from the Bari group is less than sin square theta 1-3 less than 0.067. So, they have also not done the analysis. What they have used is from the SK 2 parameter plots, they have used the likelihood function in delta m square 3-2 sin square theta 2-3 space, and graphically they have reduced it, and then they have done the K2K plus solar plus Sho plus Camland analysis. And they have recently also done this analysis using the SK L by E range, and then they get the bound as sin square theta 1-3 less than 0.05. So, with the SK L by E range, the delta M square 3-2 is higher. So, the bound on theta 1-3 is stronger, and this is what is obtained by the Valencia group. They have done the analysis of zenith plus K2K plus solar plus reactor. Their bound is 0.061. So, the bounds are slightly different depending on what is the allowed delta M square 3-1 range these people are getting. Now, this is the effect of sin square theta 1-3 on solar parameters. So, here I have plotted the delta M square 2-1 and sin in the sin square theta 1-2 plane, the allowed parameter regions for sin square various values of sin square theta 1-3. Now, what we see is that now this is again with the old Camland result. So, we have the 3 sigma regions allowed. And also with inclusion of theta 1-3 at 99% CL also we get allowed regions. And this is because first of all with when we come to the 3 parameter situation, then the delta chi square increases. And secondly, we see that this factor as we go up, then the solar probability increases, and this cos 4 theta 1-3 factor acts as a normalization. So, it can bring down the probability. So, higher delta M square regions get allowed. This is the plot obtained by the Bari group using the function from the likelihood function of delta M square 3-2 sin square theta 2-3 from the SK L by E analysis by graphical reduction. So, they also get areas allowed here at 99%. However, because they are bound on sin square theta 1-3 from using the SK L by E input is 0.05. So, they do not get allowed regions beyond 0.06. This is still very small. So, this is a summary of the 3 generation parameters from this paper. Now, here it is the delta chi square plotted against the various parameters 2-1, 3-1, and then here theta 1-2, 2-3 and 1-3. And here they have plotted the allowed regions in the delta m square 2-1 sin square theta 1-2 and 3-1, 2-3, and as well as sin square theta 1-3 plane. So, here what they have done is the earlier plots that I have shown were for fixed theta 1-3. Here what they have done is they have marginalized over the other parameters. So, they have taken the, when they are plotting the delta m square 2-1 sin square theta 1-2, the other parameters are kept free and the minimum. So, this is minimized with respect to the undisplayed parameters. And in that case, what we find is that if their 3 sigma range from 3 flavor analysis for delta m square 3-1 is 1.1 to 3.4 into 10 to the minus 3 v square, and for sin square theta 2-3, 0.32 to 0.7. And for delta m square 2-1, it is 5.4 to 9.4 into 10 to the minus 5 v square, and for sin square theta 1-2, 0.23 to 0.39. And if we compare with the 2 sigma analysis, then we see that the delta m square 3-1, the ranges are not changing at all, means they are not changing very much. So, the bottom line is that when one does this plots with marginalizing with respect to the other parameters, then the 2 sigma 2 flavor allowed regions are very stable after even after including the theta 1 3. So it's a sub leading effect really. And this is the bound on delta m square 2 1 by delta m square 3 1, the hierarchy parameter which is associated with sub leading oscillations. And so the best fit is alpha is 0.03. So this is the red curve. And for long baseline studies, one also this factor comes alpha sin, thank you, 2 theta 1 2. So this the best fit they get is 0.03 and 0.028. So this is the 3 neutrino oscillation parameters. And so this is the best fit which the Bari group gets using the SK L by E input. And we see that the 2 generation ranges do not change much. And theta 1 3 best fit is 0.01, which is not statistically significant. So at best fit, this is the leptonic mixing matrix. And here I have plotted this. So this is the mass diagram. So this is the mass eigenstate 1, 2 and 3. And from oscillation, we do not know the absolute value. So for M1, this is the this state. So UE1 is highest for the 1 state, then mu and tau. For the second mass eigenstate, we have this in this proportion 5, 4, 5, 6, 6, 3. And this is separated by the atmospheric. In the third mass eigenstate, we have very little UE3, this factor, and almost equal mixture of mu and tau. And since the atmospheric probabilities are mainly atmospheric, we have nu mu, nu tau oscillation. So then it is the matter effects are not coming into play. So then from atmospheric analysis, okay. So here I have plotted this with delta m square 3 2 greater than 0, but this plot when this will go up and this will go down is also allowed, which is the inverted ordering, because and this can be positive or negative. We have no information on it as yet. And from solar data, we know that delta m square 2 1 is greater than 0. So this is the summary from solar plus CAMLAND. So with the snow salt data, the MSW effect in the sun is confirmed, and it also further restricts the solar and sin square theta parameters. And the new CAMLAND data plus solar favors low LMA, and the best fit rises to 8.3 into 10 to the minus 5 EV square, the best fit delta m square sun, and the best fit sin square theta sun is 0.28. The high LMA region is now disallowed at more than 3 sigma with the new CAMLAND results. Maximal mixing is disfavored at more than 5 sigma. And the solar neutrino physics enters the precision era. From analysis of SK zenith angle data, delta m square atmospheric is 2.1, sin square theta 0.5. K2K constrains the higher delta m square part of the allowed region. The L by E data gives this as 2.4 and this as stays as 0.5. There is increased precision in delta m square atmospheric with L by E data. Now, solar reactor atmospheric data is compatible with 3 generations, and one can have an explanation of all the data in 3 generation, realistic 3 generation scenario. The bound on theta 1 3 is sensitive to the allowed delta m square 3 2 range, and depending on that, different groups, depending on what range of this is used, the bound is between 0.05 to 0.07. The best fit value of delta m square 2 1 by delta m square 3 1 is 0.03. And the 2 generation allowed parameter regions are stable against these values. So the future goals are improving the precision of parameters we already know, then obtain some measure of smallness of theta 1 3 and to ascertain if it is 0 or different from 0, then determine the sign of delta m square 3 2, search for CP violation in the lepton sector. Then subleading effects in solar and atmospheric neutrinos, which we can include the sterile neutrinos, non-standard interactions, discrete symmetries, then for solar magnetic moments, neutrino decay. So I would like to thank these people for discussions during the preparation of the talk. Thank you.
You should be complimented on a precision analysis of how many words fit into 35 minutes exactly. So, do we have any questions? Giorgio.
When you do your global analysis, Do you use things like efficiency dependent on energies for experiments and this kind of experimental effects?
Whatever efficiencies are given in experimental papers, we use that.
No, but I mean the efficiency often depends on the energy, for instance, at some small, you know, some, within some small effects. But so yeah. This is just to say, I mean, in some sense, you're trying to do precision physics, but I think you are neglecting a number of experimental effects.
If
this reminds me a lot of the situation with the electroweak analysis at LEP and SLC. And at some point, it was decided that in order to do precision analysis, you need to put together a couple of experimentalists from each experiment, a couple of theories, close them in a room, and then you get all the correlations between all the errors and all these things. I'm wondering whether it wouldn't be about time to start doing it here also.
May I make a comment?
Please.
It's very good that you asked me this question, and I appreciate it very much that when we are doing precision analysis, then we really need to incorporate the experimental details very carefully. And so if these are available, then we will be very happy to use them.
Any other questions, Steve?
Early on you showed a figure of the charge current to neutral current ratio for snow in the delta m squared sine squared theta plot. Could you bring that up again?
You want to see the plot?
Yeah. It's way back near the beginning.
Yeah.
I think you just went through it.
Yeah, that's the one. Now, one of the beautiful things about snow is it makes a direct measurement of sine squared theta 1,2 because it's the charge current to neutral current ratio is exactly equal to sine squared theta 1,2.
Exactly.
But if you look at your contours at the lower range there, they are curving down, and I don't understand why that is the case, because the lower I go in delta m squared, the more precise the fact that the charge current to neutral current ratio is equal to sine squared theta 1,2.
So it is okay, the MSW probability is approximately sine squared theta 1,2. So as we go towards lower delta m square, then there will be some delta m square effects which will making the curve slightly curved. So it is not exactly sine squared theta 1,2. You have to really do for all energy and delta m square.
Earth regeneration.
Other questions? If not, we'll thank our speaker again.